this is Jeff Steiner from Americans in France. And today I am talking with Samantha Gadin. Samantha, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
And where are you?
I'm sitting at home in Paris.
Wow. What's it like to be an American in Paris?
I am one of many.
There's a lot of Americans in Paris, then?
Yeah, I think someone said there's something like 100,000 of us here or something crazy like that.
Wow. What part of Paris do you live in?
I live in the 15th, so not too far from Montparnasse.
So what's your neighborhood like?
I'm a little bit torn. I used to live in the 5th, which, those of you who know Paris, it's right in the center of Paris, and I could see the Eiffel Tower from my apartment. I was right across from the Luxembourg Gardens. I was a 10-minute walk from the Seine. So I really felt like Paris was kind of at my feet and in your face kind of thing, where now in the 15th, we're in a very residential neighborhood. It's very quiet. We're in a quiet street. And it's a little bit easier to forget, I guess, that we live in Paris.
Is it kind of like a small village?
I mean, I really don't need to go out that much. We have everything. We have grocery stores, bakeries, you know, basically everything we need in our little neighborhood. So
what brought you to Paris?
Many years ago, I was living in Brittany in northwestern France and had a breakup with the Frenchman I was living with. And at that point, I had two choices. Either I go back to the U.S. or I stick around somewhere in France. And I didn't really like Brittany that much. It wasn't the place for me, and I had some friends in Paris, so I thought, okay, I'll give Paris a try for 3 months. I found a place to live just for the summer, and I thought, I'll just see how it goes, and at the end of 3 months, I'll make a decision. You know, do I stay or do I go? And now it's been almost 5 years ago, so.
It's one of those, yeah, you think if you're not sure if you're going to stay, you give it a few months, and it becomes a few years.
Yeah, I just wanted to see a different side of France than Brittany, I guess.
What's the biggest difference between the two?
Here, I'm anonymous, and I'm someone I don't like to stand out. I don't like, you know, to be the center of attention. So here, I can just, there's like I said earlier, there's so many Americans that I can just go about my daily business. No one's going to stare at me because I look different. You know, if I have an accent, nobody looks second way. Whereas in Brittany, you know, I was l'américaine. I was the only American village, and I couldn't go anywhere without people looking at me. And it was almost like I had the plague. It was really frustrating for me because I just wanted to fit in and integrate, and I really had a difficult time doing so.
That's one thing I've always noticed, that I'm always introduced as the American, even though I have citizenship. So we're kind of the way French do it, because I've talked to some other people who are like the woman who was, I think, second generation Italian. So she was more French than Italian, but she was always kind of called the Italian.
There was a German guy in our village, and he'd been there for 20 years. And one day I asked him, because I, you know, people only referred to him as the German. And I was like, don't you get tired of having a name? Of not having a name, of being the German? And there were days where I'd think, you know, I don't want to be known as the American for the rest of my life. I have a name, I have a personality, you know, I have a whole history that goes along with being me. And
so you've recently got married. What was it like getting married? Did you get married in France?
We got married in France at the mairie, so at the city hall. I guess for my family, it must have been a very different experience. I've been to several French weddings, so it's become normal to me now, this whole idea of getting married at the city hall by the mayor. But as far as the process goes, it wasn't that difficult. Like you, I'm French now, so that made the paperwork quite a bit easier, though I think if you're a foreigner, there is some extra paperwork to do. But basically, we just had to bring our birth certificates and say, you know, we want to get married on this day. And
what shocked me when I got married in France was that it lasted forever.
Did you go up to the onion soup at 4 a.m?
Well, it wasn't on our menu, but I've been to other weddings, or I should say I've heard about other weddings where there was the onion soup at 4 a.m, and it was written down in the menu. That time, 4 a.m, or even sometimes later, you're going to have onion soup. And that just, you know, I was so tired. Because I remember my sister's wedding, you know, it lasted about 5 hours. You know, they got married, they had a party, that was it.
Yeah, it's true. I get surprised now in the U.S. when, you know, they have a room reserved from, you know, 8 to 11 p.m. or 8 to midnight, and it rarely goes after that.
What's it like being a Franco-American couple? Are there any cultural differences, cultural conflicts? I know there is with my wife. I mean, there has been.
There has to be. I mean, I'm lucky that Chris is very calm, and, you know, he's not your fiery Frenchman. He's very calm, and he's very interested by these differences. So most of the time, you know, he'll sit and kind of reflect about why it's happening instead of it blowing up into a big argument. I'm trying to think of any specific examples.
Well, the one that I had that I've noticed, and you maybe you have too, is the amount of time the French spend eating at the table as opposed to an American?
I don't know. I think I've adapted to their ways because I was just back in the U.S. 2 weeks ago for work, and I noticed that every single meal I was the last person to finish. And something I've never noticed before, I was the only one to use a knife and a fork. Everybody was eating with just a fork, except for the other French person at the table. The two of us were the only ones eating with a knife and a fork.
Do you peel like a pear or a fruit like that with your knife and a fork? Do you ever do that?
No, I haven't gone that far. I think all the vitamins and minerals are in the skin, so I still got to eat that.
Yes. What language do you speak?
With Chris?
Yeah, with your husband.
We speak French during the week, and then we speak English on Saturdays and Sundays.
Really? You're able to go between the languages?
We originally met because he was wanting to practice his English, and I was feeling like in Paris, I was only hanging out with Anglophones, I was speaking too much English, and I was only speaking French for work. And so I started hearing about these language exchanges that people were doing, and he'd been doing a language exchange with an Indian fellow, and their schedules were just not working out anymore, so he was looking for somebody else. So we met, and we kept speaking French, and then one day I was like, you know, it's not really fair to you. The whole reason we met is because you were hoping to speak English, and now we're speaking only French. So that's what we decided to do. At first, it was just English Sundays, and then we expanded it to English Weekend.
When you first got here, did you know a lot?
No, I didn't know anything. I think I could count to 10, and that's about it. When I first came over here, I had followed a different Frenchman, one I referred to earlier, back to his hometown in Brittany. And the only way for me to get a visa at that time was to be a student. I was a student at the university in Rennes for 2 years. They had a program specifically for French for foreigners, and it was probably the best thing I could have done.
Why is that?
In Brittany, you know, as a foreigner, they're really, the only job available is teaching English. And that's consequently what I did after these 2 years of French classes. I taught English for 2 years, but it really just was not for me. And so the fact that I had a really good foundation in French, I could read very well, I could write very well, and then they had a good focus on listening comprehension, phonetics, and that was really a big help for my job searches once I decided I wasn't meant to be an English teacher.
Did you ever have culture shock or anything, like the paperwork?
I had lived in Finland for a year, and I'm actually Finnish origins, and so my background, you know, Finland wasn't strange for me at all. You know, I had been there many times as a child. The food is basically the same as where I come from in the Midwest. Countryside is the same, you know, lots of forests, lots of lakes. So it really didn't feel, I guess, dépaysant being there at all. Whereas coming to France, I think I naively thought, okay, I've already lived in Europe. How different can it be? Well, I think the biggest thing is that nobody spoke English. And I wasn't one of those Americans expecting everybody to speak English wherever I go, but I thought there would at least be some people who spoke English, and with the exception of the guy I was dating, nobody spoke English there. That's probably one of the biggest differences between Brittany and Paris, is that in Paris, almost everybody speaks English, you know, with a lot of international companies, and it's a lot more common, I guess, to find people who have an okay level of Paris here, English here compared to in the countryside, or at least Brittany. I can't speak for the rest of France, but at least where I lived in Brittany.
What are some of the things you don't like about France?
You know, that's a good question. If you would have asked me in Brittany, I could have come up with a whole list of things. But now that in Paris, I'm not sure. I mean, there's not a whole lot that I don't like. I mean, everyone, you know, complains about customer service. Obviously, customer service could be better, but eventually you learn to deal with it. I don't know. I can't say now that there's anything I really dislike. How about you? Maybe you can trigger some things.
The bees. The cheek kissing.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's kind of annoying.
Do you do that? I get tired of it. I don't know. That's just something.
That's true. I did not like that in Brittany.
And they do four in Brittany?
They do two. Most people do two.
There's some places they do three and four. It's, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's true. Now that you mention it, you know, if you'd show up at a party or a dinner, and especially in the beginning when I didn't speak French that well and I didn't know any of these people, and you have to go around the table, do the bees with...
And especially if you're a woman. If you're a woman, you do it women to women. Men, they don't...
Yeah, I guess you guys get out of 50% of the interaction.
And it's a little bit easier. I don't mind shaking hands. When you socialize, is it mostly with Americans, French and Americans?
Yeah, I think that's why I didn't think of the bees, is because in Paris, the large majority of my friends are Franco-American couples, which is really interesting because it's almost always a French man and an American woman. Your case is really rare where it's an American man and a French woman.
I don't know, maybe it's just the way it is, but I know two other people. Actually, three. I know three, just where I live, and I live in the Alps. I agree with you. normally it's the other way.
I don't think I know one couple where the man is American and the woman is French.
Do you have any advice, anybody who's thinking of moving to France?
My number one goal would be to learn as much French as possible, because that's going to be the key for making French friends, finding a job, especially outside of Paris. You know, that was one of the things that pushed me to learn French and to study as much as I did, was I thought, okay, this is the only way I'm going to find a job, is if I can speak French. The visa issue is always complicated as well. I was lucky. I was on a student visa, and then I got PACS'd to my boyfriend, which I don't know if you've talked about the PACS. The PACS is like a civil union, basically, and that allowed me to continue to stay and work in France until I was able to apply for citizenship.
And would you suggest if somebody lived in Paris?
Paris is a good fit for me, but I know it's not necessarily a good fit for everyone. Actually, before, it was really interesting. Before I moved here, you know, I think maybe it's the same where you live, that there's all these kinds of rumors floating around that the Parisians are rude, you know, perigo, technicon, and that kind of stuff. And that, you know, Paris is a terrible place to live, and the quality of life is really, really poor. And I almost, now I kind of think, actually living here, that those are maybe just rumors that parents tell their kids to scare them from moving to Paris, because I've actually found the Parisians to be much nicer than they were in Brittany anyways. I've traveled extensively elsewhere in France, and I reckon, you know, granted, Brittany is a separate place on its own, but I found people to be very welcoming. You know, I've never once had somebody say to me, here, you're in France, you need to speak French, if I'm speaking English with a friend walking in the street, whereas in Brittany that would happen all the time.
In your travels in France and thing, have you ever experienced anything you would describe as anti-Americanism?
No, not really. I wouldn't say so. In Brittany there was a definite anti-British sentiment, mainly because a lot of the Brits were coming and kind of creating little Britons in France. They were coming to France because of low housing prices, you know, cheap land, cheap wine, cheap food, that kind of thing. They weren't coming because they had a love of France, so they weren't really integrating into the community, and that caused a lot of tension. But anti-American, not really. Besides back when George Bush was president, you know, there'd be the odd comment here, but as far as Americans go, no.
I never did. I mean, I was in Alsace during the, you know, the build-up to the war in Iraq, and I just, there was nothing. I mean, there was nothing, there was no really anti, the people didn't like Bush, but that wasn't, you know, anti-Americanism. In fact, whenever I tell anybody I'm an American, they always think, and maybe you had this too, they always think I'm British or English.
Yeah, that was the problem in Brittany, is that I often got lumped in the same lot as the Brits.
And anybody tells me, you know, whenever I tell them that I'm American, they, oh yeah, I've been here, I've been there. And I recently went, I was in the summer, we went to the Grand Canyon, and it was all these French people. I could not believe it. And you know how you have a Francophile, you have people that are Americans or people from other countries who really like France. Well, there are a lot of people that like America, a lot of French people really do. It's mythic, you know?
Yeah, actually, I have one of the hotels where I stay regularly in the Loire Valley. They're leaving this weekend for two-week motorcycle tour of the Southwest. So it's one nice thing about the French, though, is that they're able to separate politics from the people, whereas in the U.S., you know, look at what happened with Freedom Fries and all that kind of stuff, whereas, you know, we just lump all the French people in one basket with their government and their beliefs. So
Sam, tell me about your blog.
So I had a blog when I was living in Brittany, and then, which was called Sam de Bretagne. And so since I was no longer in Brittany, I had to find a new name, and a French friend of mine suggested Totally Frenched Out, which I thought was really appropriate because at that point I was really kind of had enough of the France I knew, which was Brittany, so, and enough of maybe French men for a while there too. So it was a good fit. Now, I don't know if that, I mean, I don't think that really applies today, but it's kind of a funny title. So my new blog is Totally Frenched Out at .blogspot.com. It's kind of evolved, this purpose has evolved with time. In the beginning, I felt really isolated in Brittany. You know, I moved here at a time when internet was still, you know, they didn't have high-speed internet everywhere in France. It was in 2003, and the French were a bit slow to adopt internet since they had their Minitel. It took them a little bit, few extra years to get on board. But so at that point, you know, I didn't really have a way to connect with people, and I kind of thought for a few years that I was alone in this situation, that I was the only person struggling to integrate, that I was the only person, you know, having a hard time making French friends. And when I discovered the blogging community, it was really an eye-opener, and I felt a weight lift off my shoulders to know that it wasn't just me, that other people were out there, they were going through these same issues, and it really kind of was a life saver at that time. And it was just a way where I could write down and share the experiences I was having and have them validated by other people, because there were times where I felt like I was crazy because I wasn't able to understand or communicate or, you know, really just fit in. So
I've read both of them, and that's kind of the feeling that you were dealing with the feelings. You were kind of dealing with things. And it's true, though, because you don't realize that you're some point in time, you don't realize that there are other people like you.
Now the new blog is just a way to kind of document my life in Paris. It's more of an online journal or diary, or if I come across interesting things that I see, or sometimes I share my travels, stuff I see when I'm, you know, crossing France.
What are some of the interesting things you've seen?
I've been really lucky. I guess I have customers all over France, and one of the things I like the most about France is it's a relatively small country. I mean, don't ever tell a French person that, but, you know, size of Texas, comparatively speaking, and everything changes so much. You go to one region to another region, you know, the food changes, the style of homes change, architecture, everything changes. I just find that so fascinating that each region has its own well-developed kind of subculture and history to it, and I love visiting things. You know, I can be driving to a customer, and I have a kind of a crazy GPS that will take me averse to large roads, and it loves taking me on these tiny, tiny roads, which sometimes, you know, I curse it because you get these one-lane curvy roads and you never know what's going to be around the corner. But that's also part of the fun of it, because sometimes I come upon, like, ruins of a castle or, you know, just really beautiful, beautiful scenery, and I think, oh, I'm lucky to be here.
All right, Sam, I want to thank you very much for being on.
Thank you for having me.